Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for preserving for us the words of Jesus, and we pray that you would meet with us now as we engage with these truths. Help us as individuals, as families, as a church community, and we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, this time next year, the sporting world will be on the brink of the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. Can it really be three whole years since London 2012? Well, one of the iconic events in the Olympics is, of course, the marathon. This race of 26 miles, 385 yards is based on the legend of the Greek messenger Pheidippides. Now, the story is that Pheidippides, in 490 BC, is supposed to have run from Marathon to Athens after a major battle where the Greeks defeated the invading Persians. Legend claims that he fought in the Battle of Marathon and then ran what is now the marathon race distance to tell the people of Athens their victory. Now, it's said that he ran the entire distance without stopping and burst into the assembly exclaiming, "Nan keki amen, we have won," before then collapsing and dying. Now, the story of Pheidippides has become one of the best known accounts of someone being sent with a great message. Rather like today, but in a different way, I guess, the people of Athens needed some good news. And the great message of victory was brought to them by this soldier, sent by his superiors, even though it was the last thing that he did. Now, this morning, as we read from the second last chapter of John's Gospel, we hear of an even greater message of victory. A message that the risen Jesus sends his people out as messengers to make known to a needy world. But it is not a message that we are left to communicate alone. Jesus sends us out with divine help. Well, do turn to John chapter 20. It's on page 1093 of the Black Church Bibles. Now, we read this morning from John chapter 20, and the chapter ends with John explaining to us why he's written his account of Jesus' life. He says, "I've written it so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's why he's written it. And so as we engage with this account, we are reminded that John has just recorded that Jesus has been crucified, shouting out in a cry of victory, "It is finished. The job is done. It's completed." Chapter 19, verse 30. And then Jesus is buried in a donated grave. Now, Mary Magdalene visits the burial site to pay her respects, but she finds that the stone that had been sealing the tomb had been moved. John and Peter then investigate, and they find that the tomb is empty. Jesus' grave clothes are there, lying in such a way that it seems like his body has passed through them. Now, a little later, John tells us that Mary is outside the tomb in tears, and the risen Jesus meets her, speaks to her. And then she went and told the rest of Jesus' friends, "I have seen the Lord." Well, as we continue to study what happens next, we see firstly that the risen Jesus sends us. John continues his account, verse 19. "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews," that is the religious leaders, "Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.'" So here is Jesus, the crucified one, but now alive. He makes sure that they realize who he is by speaking to them. He says, "Peace be with you." And then he underlines his message with a sign, pointing them to the scars that he bore because of his death. Verse 20, "He showed them his hands and his side." Jesus who died is now alive, and his friends can see him with their own eyes. Now, of course, this is hugely significant. We spent the last few weeks since Easter exploring some of the implications of the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. We've seen that God had promised beforehand that his Messiah would be victorious. Jesus was raised from the dead in accordance with the scriptures. Because Jesus is alive, we're assured that his mission was successful. The world's rejection of God's Messiah has been reversed, and his resurrection is proof that his death was a victory, and God is able to forgive our sins and bring us to himself. Now, that Jesus came back physically shows us the pattern for those who believe in him. Death has been defeated, and there will be a resurrection of the body. As we saw a couple of weeks or so ago, he will transform our lowly body so that it will be like Jesus' glorious body. And what's more, Jesus' physical resurrection is the first part of what God is going to do for the universe. There will be a new heaven and a new earth where all the brokenness of this world will be removed, and Jesus' people will enjoy a transformed world with Jesus reigning in righteousness and peace. Now, having shown his friends his hands and his side, we read verse 20, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.'" Now, these words help us to understand what we as Jesus' people, the church today, are to be engaged in. Here is a key definition from Jesus himself of what we usually call mission, being sent by Jesus. Mission, then, is all that we are sent by Jesus into the world to do. Now, as we'll see in a moment, this involves sharing a message of reconciliation with God through Jesus. But being sent by Jesus also involves loving our neighbours as ourselves in all kinds of practical ways. It means caring. It means looking out for the poor, supporting aid projects and medical work in the third world, seeing our whole lives, including our work and our leisure, all that we do, as something that we do to serve others and serve Jesus. Now, the mission that we're called to is shaped by Jesus' mission. God the Father sent Jesus, God the Eternal Son, into the world as the Son of God, and he is the pattern for us being sent. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So Jesus was sent from the splendor of eternity in heaven as part of the divine family with God the Father and the Eternal Spirit, and he was sent to earth. He took human flesh to himself. Without losing his identity as God the Son, Jesus identified with us broken human beings. He became himself a human being. Jesus remained who he was, but he became one of us, and he lived amongst people, relating to all kinds of people, teaching all kinds of people, serving, giving, loving. As Jesus' people, the church, we share with Jesus in God the Father's mission to the world. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And of course, there are great implications to the specific way that Jesus puts it. We're not simply to invite people to come to us. We need to go to where people are. We need to understand people, to find out what makes them tick, to find out what is important to people, what people's needs are, and to identify with people. Like Jesus, we are to seek to enter into other people's worlds to care and to give and to love. The risen Jesus, having been sent, now sends us. Now, of course, as we think about our circumstances here, we have a great many opportunities in our locality and supporting others doing the same around the world. But it is good to be continually thinking, what is it? What does it mean for us as All Saints North Ferriby to be sent by Jesus in order to serve? How does this essential calling of Jesus affect our time and our money and our commitment? The risen Jesus then sends us. But we also see that the risen Jesus sends us with a message. Verse 22. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So you see the distinctive thing about the mission that we're engaged in, that which we are sent by Jesus into the world to do, is that it involves a message. And it is a message about forgiveness of sins. Now, these words have at times been misapplied. The medieval Roman Catholic Church thought that Jesus meant that their leaders, their so-called priests, had a sort of legal authority to hear people confess their sins and then to give them forgiveness. And this idea still persists in some quarters. But it doesn't seem to fit with the context of Jesus' words, or indeed the shape of the rest of the New Testament and its teaching. Rather, Jesus' words here speak of the effects of Christians making the gospel message of salvation, rescue, known to others. As the good news of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, is shared, some people hear, some turn to Jesus and believe in him, and they find that their sins are forgiven them, won by Jesus on the cross for them. Others who hear the message either don't see their need, or they don't want to turn from a life without God, a life of ignoring his laws, and so they are left in their sins. Forgiveness is withheld. Now, what Jesus says here is a great reminder that as Jesus' people, when we share the true message of the gospel that Christ died for sins, we become agents of the most vital message that anyone can hear. If our sins cut us off from God now and forever, how much do we need our sins to be taken away, our sins to be forgiven? Nothing could be more important. And that's why Jesus told us to share bread and wine as we do this morning, remembering that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. So what a privilege it is to be part of a team, which is the local church, who have been sent by Jesus to share his message with those around us. When people believe in Jesus through our communication, sins are forgiven them. What a motivation to seek to share this gospel with any that we can. How vital that we seek to maintain that this is our priority as we think about all that we are and do as a church. And of course, in Jesus' words, there's also something of a warning. Not everybody who hears the message of forgiveness will respond. Now, that is a sad thing. There is a reality about the fact that some, when they hear the message of the cross, when they hear the message of forgiveness, are not interested. There is then, in a sense, something of God's judgment. But we shouldn't be deterred from passing that message on to others, even though some are not persuaded by it. The risen Jesus then sends us with a message, the message of the good news of the forgiveness of sins. But finally, we see that the risen Jesus equips us as he sends us. We began hearing about Pheidippides, the Greek soldier, exhausted by the task of being a messenger. Indeed, it killed him. Well, being sent by Jesus to serve and to share his message is certainly demanding. It involves identifying with people, loving people, taking a message that is not always popular, a message that will be rejected by some. So how are we to fulfil this mission that we're sent on? Well, on our own, we cannot. But wonderfully, we are not left to do it on our own. After Jesus had promised his friends his peace amidst their fear and told them that he was sending them as God the Father had sent him into the world, John tells us, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the eternal divine Spirit who was involved in creation, and from time to time we read of him strengthening Old Testament leaders and kings. He is now given to Jesus' people in order to serve him as they are sent. The Holy Spirit is the life breath of the risen Jesus, giving strength and help, equipping and gifts so that the church community can fulfill God's mission through them. Well, there have been many messengers in history, and they've had a variety of messages to pass on. As God's people, the church, we are sent by the greatest messenger ever, the risen Jesus, who said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus sends us into the world to love our neighbours in his name and to make known his message of forgiveness of sins when people receive him. And it is a message of judgment when they don't. But we're not sent by Jesus to fend for ourselves. Jesus' very presence, the Holy Spirit, is with us to equip us and help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus into the world. That you sent him in order to bring us back to you through his death and resurrection. And we thank you that in your mercy you give us the privilege of being sent into your world too. And we pray that you would equip us here at Ferriby Church. Strengthen us by your Spirit that we might indeed make Jesus known and serve him. And we ask for his sake. Amen.